The text for the message today is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 14. We'll look at verse 1, but it mainly starts on verse 7. As always, I would invite you to open your pew Bibles, and if you're open your Bibles, if you're using the pew Bible, you would find Luke chapter 14 on page 873. And let us begin with a word of prayer. God, our Father, your word is strong and powerful and true. Lord, as we come to your word, we indeed pray that it may change us and help us see our Jesus, his great love for us, that we may live for him. We pray in his name, amen. Dear Christian friends, Table 19 is a movie you probably didn't see. It opened in 2017 to some pretty negative reviews, but it really demonstrates and illustrates the text from our for today. It is the story of a woman who attends the wedding of her best friend under difficult circumstances. Because you see, what happened was she was to be the maid of honor until her boyfriend, who was also the bride's brother and best man, broke up with her with a text. And then she was replaced as the maid of honor by her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend. Could you imagine? But she bravely decides to attend the wedding because this was her best friend and her longest-term friend, but she was assigned to table 19. Which was in the back next to the bathroom, and it was populated by a number of misfits who, in the words of the writer, should have had enough sense to simply send their regrets. So she goes from the head table to table 19. She's been asked to move lower. Well, nothing has really changed since the time of the Bible, has it? If you look at verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was carefully being watched." And verse 7, "When he noticed how the guest picked the places of honor at the table, Jesus told them this parable." Because you see, nobody wants to be at table 19. We all want to have the best place. We want to be at the head table. We want the closest parking place and the fastest checkout line. Why? Well, it's all driven by selfishness. You know, selfishness and its sister, pride, are universal problems with all of us. Selfishness is when we want to have the best for ourselves, usually at the expense of someone else, and pride is when we think we deserve it more than anyone else. This is not God's way. Jesus sums up God's way in verse 11 when he says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted." So Jesus definitely has a point here, yes, about humility. But we should neither miss the point that Jesus also talks about being exalted. And so there's really something for everyone here. So on the one hand, if you have too much pride, Jesus says, be humble. But on the other hand, if you feel absolutely worthless and don't even really know why you're taking up room on this planet, Jesus would exalt you. So which are you today? Jesus doesn't want you to feel worthless or to have too much pride, but he really wants you to have a healthy understanding of who you are. So what is our healthy understanding of ourselves without Christ? Without Christ, we really have no basis to be proud, because the Bible really does confine everybody under sin. In Romans chapter 3, Paul brings a lot of Old Testament scripture together in one place. He says, "There is no one who does good, no, not one." And then he continues, "Their throat is an open grave, their tongues have practiced deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood." And so Paul summarizes all of this by saying, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." And the worst example of what happens to us with pride is one that threatens our very salvation: works righteousness. Now, works righteousness believes that people can on their own be good enough to please God on their own, that they can be good enough to earn their way to heaven, that they can be good enough to stand before an incomprehensible, holy, and majestic God and say, "I'm just like you." So to trust in one's own goodness puts you in a very dangerous place. When people hope to be saved by their own righteousness, they make themselves exceptions from the clear word of Scriptures. When people hope to be saved by their own works, they make everything that Christ did in vain. And they make that horrible experience of Jesus going to the cross and suffering on the cross, that crucifixion, to be a terrible story of a nice man who died for nothing. That's what is the end of the pride of works righteousness. It is indeed a great fall, that we would be lost. Galatians says, "You who attempt to be saved by the law have become estranged from Christ. You have fallen from grace." Now, the Bible offers us all sorts of examples of pride. You could think of King Sennacherib or King David. But our text for today, the Pharisees let their pride show through by wanting the best seats at the table. So when we're thinking about seating arrangements, it was not like Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. They were all sitting in chairs on one side of the table, not very conducive for conversation, I wouldn't imagine. But that wasn't the way it was. In Jesus' day, people ate on couches lying down. And there were very strict rules about who was supposed to be lying down where. And so the place of honor was well known. And so then the host would then sit at the head of the table there on the left. His wife would normally be next to him, and then someone else from his family. And then the place of honor would then be on the other side of the host. And so then as you went around the table, then each spot would be less and less prestigious until you got to basically table 19. And so this text gives the example of a person who takes the best place, that they would be asked to leave it and go to the lowest place. Pride goes before the fall. And so sometimes we want to choose the best places. We want to have the best clothes, the best cars, the best homes, because after all, you know, fine people like us, we deserve all of that. Or so we tell ourselves. Such pride. And what is the end? Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled." This is not where Jesus wants us to be. And so if you are a person who struggles with selfishness or pride, which probably almost all of us do, it's a warning. It is a warning that we need to understand what the Bible says about our nature, that without Christ, we have no basis to be proud, but rather we are sinful, and we are weak, and we are lost, and we have no reason to boast before God or our neighbor. That's what it's like to be without Christ. But what is that healthy understanding of what we are to be like with Christ? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves will be lifted up by Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. And so we remember how humble our Jesus was. That though he had every reason to be proud, he humbled himself and became a human being on this earth. And Mary and Joseph were by no means wealthy. They were not royalty. Jesus demonstrated how low he would stoop to save mankind when he would wash even the feet of his disciples. When Jesus would speak about us following him, he reminded us that he was meek and lowly. But I think Philippians 2 sums up the humbleness of Christ the best. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who being in the very form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And that last sentence reveals why Jesus humbled himself, so that he could die on the cross, so that there on the cross he might redeem us from sin, that Jesus humbled himself so much that he actually became sin, that our sins were laid upon him, your sins and my sins were all laid upon Jesus. That was not pride, but that was humility, really humiliation, that God punished Jesus for our sins, that the wrath of God was satisfied because Jesus was humbled on the cross and he died for us so that we would be saved. But then the humble are lifted up. Philippians 2 continues, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so now that very humble Jesus has been raised to heaven to be worshiped by all, to be seen as Lord of all. So God is pleased when we have a sober understanding of who we are and when we take that humble place. God is especially pleased when we realize that we are so humble and low and sinful that we cannot add any of our works to the work of Christ on the cross. The only thing that we are to do is to trust in God, trust in his mercy, which excludes pride. We trust in God's grace to forgive and to take our sins away. But who are you in Christ? You have also been raised. You, humbled and confessing your sins, are now raised and exalted by Christ to be one of his children, to be his son, to be his daughter. And now the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. This is what the scriptures say, that this wonderful and powerful God now makes his home in your heart and lives with you forever. And this makes us special people. The scriptures say, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God? The scriptures say, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. So really, this is the basis for what some people would call self-esteem today, that by ourselves we have no worth, but with Christ, we are special and wonderful and good because God is in us. Just ponder how special that makes you. You know, there used to be, you used to see t-shirts that would say, I'm okay because God doesn't make junk. Yeah, it's a pretty good t-shirt, I suppose. I kind of like it. But it doesn't really tell the whole story. I think we need to rewrite this t-shirt just a little bit, because you are more than okay. You are a recreated, redeemed child of God. And secondly, it's an understatement to say that you're not junk. You are much, much more, because God has made you into who he wants you to be. I'm more than okay because God is working in me. And so we could rewrite that t-shirt so that it should say, God doesn't make junk. He restores masterpieces. So did you ever think you were worthless? If you did, you were wrong. Because you are loved by God. You were created by him. You were redeemed by him. And you are being recreated by him. You are his masterpiece. When you were baptized, the Holy Spirit came into your hearts with his gifts. And God is making you into the child that he wants you to be. So then, you know, when we consider others as being more important than ourselves, that's good. Christ humbled himself that he might pay that debt of sin once for all that was owed by man. But we also rejoice that Jesus has lifted us up from the depths of our sins that we might be His own children, restored, redeemed, and on the last day, a perfected masterpiece in Jesus. There's a saying that I think kind of maybe summarizes this all up pretty well, between that balance between being humble and being exalted. It's this: God wisely designed the human body so that we can neither easily pat ourselves on the back or kick ourselves. In the name of Jesus, amen.